at your car, Phil.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast. Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast. This is Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Special Agent Phil Wilson.
You know, I should have driven an Opel down
yes,
there.
Yes, you should have, because he had car problems. And Agent Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing? Well, I thought we'd start off with that little Get Smart theme, because you were on assignment, Phil, down at South by Southwest in Austin. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about an experience I had yesterday with television, and I'll talk about that, and then the freemium model and whatever else comes up. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
All right. So let's kind of launch into it. You did some great videos, by the way, with that fabulous Flip Minnow HD, now owned by Cisco, which I'm still puzzled about. But talk about your experience down there, and because obviously you had time to think about it on your drive back too.
Yes, I did have a lot of time to think about it, but it was a great time. I would definitely do it again. I talked to a couple of folks that said, yeah, I don't know if I'd do it again or not. You know, they were there probably for more, you know, issues of just seeing how the conference worked and that sort of thing. But it was a very good time. It was happy to see so many people, because, you know, a lot of conferences and a lot of industries are sort of, you know, shutting down because of the recession. But you would not know that there was a recession on by the participation and enthusiasm of the crowd over at South by Southwest Interactive. It was great. I think that I thought we were well represented. I talked to Kevin Matheny over at Circus Maximus, and they seemed very pleased with the turnout to that attraction. And also, of course, the guys over at Zeus Jones and Sierra Bravo won the FizzPop.
Yeah, hallelujah. So
that was really good.
Yeah, that was, what a home run for those guys.
It really was. And I was talking with Mark Kurtz from Gage, who was, you know, part of the presentation and the setup of FizzPop. And he was saying that the judges unanimously picked the Zeus Jones pitch. So
really? Wow. Well, you know, and in fact, Mark Kurtz invited Graham to be part of this interactive adventure for this Wired for 2020 event that's happening at the Mall of America. And Graham asked if I'd like to participate as well to present. And so we're doing that on the 18th of April. And Gage is really getting engaged with a lot of, no pun intended, with a lot of this interactive stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. Let's see. And you know, I think the other nice thing about the event, and I think I mentioned it in our podcast from the Orgasmatron down there. See, I can't even say it this morning. So, it was, you know, actually putting faces and voices to these people that I either tweet with or email with or just converse with online. It was, that was great.
Yep. How was the vibe? Tim. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, any trends that you took out of there, Phil, that we haven't already, you know, talked about here or on our radar?
Not really, no. I think that when I go back next year, and I will go back next year, I'm going to take another stab at how to organize my attendance to all the sessions. You know, I was looking at topics and titles and I think next time I will look for presenters and then, you know, not worry about the topic, but just go with the presenter. But I think the biggest takeaway for me, and Steve and I were talking about this the other day, was the whole business of free, which was, I think, precipitated by the final keynote of the conference with Guy Kawasaki interviewing Chris Anderson from Wired and talking about his, you know, book that's coming out in July called Free. And I think that was the thing that stuck with me the most. And then also the fact that Graham shot me any post yesterday about the free model. And it's a little bit of a concern, because I looked around at all of the people at South by Southwest, and they are some impressive people, some very smart, very creative, very imaginative people that are working very hard developing services and applications for, you know, everybody that uses the internet. And basically, we're saying, well, you got to give it away so you can make money. And it was like, okay, that's, I'm having a hard time with that, because I don't, you know, it's good for the ramen noodle people that are actually, you know, feeding all these folks. But, I think that we've got to figure out a way to allow everybody to be able to, you know, get a payoff for all the work they're doing.
Yeah. But don't you think, I mean, because believe me, I've thought about this a lot. And I've got two clients right now that are going through the same exact thing, which is how much do we give away? You know, it's the old puppy dog clothes. You give the family the puppy and then come back the next day. And guess what? They're going to keep it. There's no way they're giving the thing back. And in a way, that's the freemium model, is you get people in, you get them engaged, you let them build and create, and they kind of get into it. And then they want to step up and they want to go pro. So you have another tier. So don't you really think that it's an on ramp? I can see the freemium model being a problem if that's your key model, where you're hoping that you're going to build enough critical mass fast enough that you can advertise or get acquired.
Well, I think that that's probably the next issue that I would say is that the advertising model may not be coming to fruition the way everybody likes. A lot of banner advertising. And you know, those typical ways that we view advertising, especially online, is not being taken advantage of. It's being wholly ignored by some segment of the consumer. So it's not necessarily satisfying the need of the advertiser. I think I understand the concept of and to some extent agree with you, Steve. You give the person a puppy and then come back the next day and start selling them food. The problem is that I think a lot of the folks here, you know, they can't make enough money on the food. You know, they need to make more money on the puppy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, Tim, if you think about what happens in Napa Valley, I mean, the whole issue of or marketing direction with, you know, having wine tastings and having people get up to the winery, it's all about the experience and all of that. And they give that away.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of an interesting business where you're really expected to give away your product in order to sell it. So I think that things are changing, you know, overall with customer expectation of, you know, of getting something in return, but also being part of a promotional process. So I think that there's, you know, this line between what's promotional and what's the product, you know, that the consumer takes is getting blurred. And you can have, you know, entire business models that are successful built on top of free product. I mean, look at Google that makes money advertising, you know.
Okay, but okay, gives so away look, their, you know, their, look beyond their main Google. Products. Tell me, look beyond Google. Tell me beyond Google, who's really, really doing well at that?
I think that Facebook is in good position to actually make quite a bit the same way that Google does and keep their main core product free. I think that, you know, that the folks at Twitter have to figure that out, have to figure out how to make money. But I think they've got some plans. They would be another one that I think would be very successful at some point, but keep their main service free.
Well, I just think that all of those small developers, those small producers of internet services and features aren't big enough to be the Googles, Facebooks, et cetera. And really, I think the concept of having a business plan that requires you being acquired is a very dangerous business plan. I mean, the problem I have is, you know, it was brought up by Chris Anderson in his talk. Okay, his concept is he'll be giving away his book. He'll be giving away for free. And his business model is basically to make a lot of money talking about his book, you know, speaking engagements, you know, that sort of a thing. That's really his, you know, one of his, or actually being able to trade on celebrity that the book generates. But of all the millions of books that are generated every year, how many people can actually say, yeah, I'm going to be able to make money on the celebrity I create by giving this product away?
Well, and but I mean, look at the record industry. Nobody makes money on their albums. They make money when they tour.
Yes, but the record company makes no money now because of the situation.
Yeah, that's true.
That's so, true. I mean, I completely agree. I think that I mean, we always look at the record industry model as a model that did not adapt to change, a model that is failing because it did not adapt to change. But, you know, it's also a model of trading off somebody else's talent. How does the talent, you know, continue to generate?
You know, and I've thought a lot about this because let's take an example of looking at Twitter, for instance. And a lot of people would argue that, as I would, that Twitter is almost a feature rather than, you know, a complete solution. Because, yes, you can connect and you can go back and forth, but there are other ways to do that. You know, persistent chat and all sorts of things that, of course, are clumsy and inefficient. But you look at a lot of these Web 2.0-ish types of offerings that aren't unified. They're not connected. Even Google, I think, does a bad job at connecting up everything, even including Google Apps. I mean, it's not really unified in a great way. And so do you think a lot of the problem with the freemium model is that a lot of these offerings are features and not really products or platforms or really true solutions?
I mean, that could be, sure. I mean, I think if you want to have a business that is successful, you have to have a product that people want and people are going to use and has, you know, some appeal. But I don't know. I still see so many people not making money because and have great services. And then they're saying, OK, well, let's give it away. It's a tough thing. Believe me, I take advantage of a ton of free stuff, and much of it I probably wouldn't use if it weren't free. But some of it, right. Yeah, I would pay for. It's bothering me.
There's some services like Zoho Office is one, and there's this other one called Avery, which is sort of like Photoshop and Illustrator, but it's a Web 2.0 online kind of thing. And both of those are free, but they do have the ability to kind of go up to a more professional level with more features and access to more of their services. And I think we're going to see that sort of model be successful because it'll allow for sampling and it'll allow for individuals to get used to those services. And then, you know, if an enterprise wants to roll this out to all of their employees, they can buy a license and do that much the same way that they do now with Office or any other software suite. So I think it can work.
Well, and here, you know, just looking at Chris Anderson and him giving away his book, because there's a lot of people that follow this model. You know, Cory Doctorow is another pretty famous one that makes all his books available for free. He convinced his publisher early on. I think it was Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom was the first one. But here's my prediction. My prediction is that when devices are portable enough, if it's an Apple iPhone-like tablet or it's some other form factor that makes it really, really nice and transparent and easy to read with a portable device with great battery life that's better even than the Kindle, that's going to be the tipping point where more people will download and read for free than ever would buy. There just won't be enough buying. And do you think that's a valid premise?
Well, I think, you know, I think that it's a valid premise. I don't know if it's a great business model.
No, I agree. I think it's a disruption, but
So you don't think there's ways that you can make money with something like an iPhone?
Oh yeah, what, giving away the iPhone?
No. I think that, you know, Apple's obviously going to make a lot of money selling them, and you know, carriers will make money selling services on top of them, and application developers will make money selling applications even if they're at $1 a pop.
Well, yeah, then okay. You talk about scale, yeah.
So here's an example that's radio related, Mr. Wilson.
I'm the radio guy.
I have found myself over and over and over again getting out of my car and realizing that, yeah, I can continue to listen to NPR, you know, if I'm listening to it in the car. So I pull up the app, push play on the news and listen to the live, whatever the live broadcast is. There's a little latency, so I got to let it catch up, and put on my headphones and take off, go walk into the building or, you know, come into my office or whatever I'm doing so I can listen to the last little bit of it. And I do that again and again and again. Versus yesterday, George Johnson, my client at television, was going to be on Cities 97 in the morning. And so I logged on about 7 o'clock to pull up the streaming player. And I got to tell you, talk about a challenge. You know, try
the hoops you got to jump through to get to stream clear channel stations. Yeah.
Yeah. And the ads that come up, but didn't come up. So the pop-up window is blank and all of that. And I look at this and I just say, they don't get it. They don't really understand the flow of how listeners are listening to live or viewing live or involved in live. And I think that's more of a challenge. So when I think about the freemium model, is I think about what can you provide to your ecosystem or your audience that meets their portable and mobile and shifting needs, and make that piece of it free, but everything else, you know, is monetized. And, you know, NPR is not a great example because they're a nonprofit.
Well, NPR is nonprofit. I'd argue if MPR is nonprofit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't know. It's a frustrating play. I don't have the answer by any means. I'm not going to say, well, here's what we need to do. Damn it. Cause I don't have that answer, it was really precipitated by looking around the room and seeing all these people, sitting by outlets with their laptops open, either, you know, blogging because this even applies to bloggers. You know, how do bloggers make a living? How do citizen journalists make a living? We've talked about that in the past too. It was really brought about by, geez, you know, we got to figure out a way to let these people feed their families and do this great stuff.
Yeah, I just think that it's going to take another year or two for this to get figured out, but there will be marketplaces. In fact, I got pinged by a buddy of mine yesterday in Indiana about an opportunity to join this group called Ingenuity, Ingenuity, and it's essentially a marketplace for, consultants and all of that, that you can come together and end up working together and getting paid for it. And it's, you know, it's very rudimentary at this point, but that's really what it's going to take, is it's going to take more and more, you know, intellectual capital marketplaces so that people can, you know, create work or even collaborate with others to create an output that they all get a piece of. There's got to be ways to monetize value in new ways.
I agree.
So,
of just real quickly though, I mean, and I know this is probably where you wanted to segue to anyway, so I want to go ahead and do that. Tell us a little bit more about television, because I know that you had a big day yesterday with television.
Well, it was, so what it is that it's television, T-E-L-A, not E, TELAVISION.TV. And it's a guy that I've known for 18 years, George Johnson. He and his partner started Internet Broadcasting Systems, and he's done a bunch of other stuff, techies.com and so on. Started up this new thing about how to teach kids to create visions of hope and possibility and their dreams for their future. And it's about teaching them how to put a stake in the ground so they've got something to strive for. So who are they, and what do they want to achieve in their lives, and what do they want to be? What do they intend to be? And it's just taking off like crazy. So yesterday, after doing due diligence, you know, should we do this on Ustream? Should we, you know, where should we do it? I chose Mogulus. And I ended up doing a post about it on Connecting the Dots, but it really made me stop and pause about the whole issue of cloud computing and what you can and cannot rely on, because there were 9 separate either outages or stuttering that occurred during the day. Now, thankfully, the live event itself was perfect. The audio and the video was perfect. It streamed beautifully. So there were no hiccups during that. But there were a couple of times where you can set up storyboards full of videos and they run automatically in something called an autopilot. And it hung. The autopilot hung. So I had to go into the, so rather than restart the thing because there wasn't time, I had to go in and individually queue up each video. And then it would start, the that one would start to play, and the next, I'd have to queue up the next one, and I had to do it all manually for like an hour. And I did that several times a day. So there are just things like that where you know, I look at this and I say, yeah, it pretty much works, but not quite. And I feel that way too often about a lot of the other cloud computing applications that I take advantage of. I mean, Gmail is the most infamous when there are downtimes and people have all kinds of issues, but I can't tell you how many times I've been in situations where I got to get an email out and I get the loading, and it's trying to load. And I know I've got perfect bandwidth because everything else can load. Or I've got to download a document or, you know, whatever it happens to be. You know, there are still some challenges around that. Are you guys experiencing that?
Yeah, always. And that may be the reason why Gmail is still for free, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not 100% bulletproof, but there are some great advantages of using it, particularly as they roll out connectivity with mobile devices and such. So we put up with it. But if I paid, let's say, even $10 a month for that, I would want more reliable service than what I'm getting from them right now. But mm-hmm. for free, yeah, it's frustrating, but I accept it because of the benefits you get from it.
Right.
And I think that by extension, all these other services, that's the same kind of thing where, you know, you just kind of put up with it. Now with Mogulus, don't you pay for that, right?
Well, they do have a free model where they have pop-up ads that are really annoying because they do come up very frequently. So for this event, for this month, George did a pay, you know, and thank God we didn't have 10,000 people because he would have spent thousands on bandwidth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fortunately it was less than that. So we were able to manage it, but, yeah, I mean, so that, yeah, there is a pro and we did sign up for the pro. So, you know, my expectations are a little bit higher than if we had been using it as a free model.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what did you learn from that experience?
Well, what I learned from that experience was how to have a backup plan. So I didn't have, there was one point where there was also a delay for the live event and I had to fill in and I didn't have that prepared. So I had to scramble to queue up some other videos.
Oh, you should have done your stand-up act. That's funny stuff.
Yeah, I should have. Yeah. Insert my webcam. Yeah, right. Hey, who's that guy wearing the Nike sweatshirt? Yeah, I learned a tremendous amount. I mean, it was everything from, you know, thank God I know how to transcode videos and understand, you know, the compression and how to, you know, what the settings need to be and all of that. So the quality of the videos, we probably had 100 videos that were uploaded and in separate storyboards and so forth. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm in love with the Mogulus service, don't get me wrong, and stunned with the fact that, you know, I basically have a production studio at my fingertips where I can bring in live webcams. In fact, we could do a video, a Minovate Gang podcast. Not that we want to look at each other on a Saturday morning, but you know, it's an extraordinarily powerful system and bandwidth is continuing to go down. So, you know, by the time George does National Television Day next year, it's going to be perfect. I'm convinced of it. So
what do you think is going to be different next year? Do you think that, that they're going to charge for it or it'll just be a lot more robust of a service because they've had another year to work on it? Or?
I think the latter. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the application on the back end is written in Flex and they're accessing all the data from Amazon S3. So it's all stored there. And I think they're using EC2 for their platform for the actual computing. So
Oops, wait a minute. My geek meter just pinged. What was that?
It's Amazon Web Services. They have both.
Oh,
shush.
I know. Yeah. I'm giving you a hard time. Yeah. But, you know, got into some alphabet soup there for a minute.
All right. Sorry about that. And so, I don't know if it was the application itself, if it was the Amazon service not delivering the videos correctly, because some of the hiccups and stuttering were clearly, I'm watching the status bar. I'm watching the thing trying to fetch this stuff from Amazon S3. So, I don't know where the hookup was or the problem, but I absolutely do think that they're going to be absolutely rock solid within a year, no question. But, again, look at the fact that, I switched to a broadcast quality camera setup, the production group that was down in Nashville, Tennessee, doing this video. And they were running it into a PC running the free Adobe Flash server so they could modify they could essentially do the compression on the fly before they uploaded the video and audio to Mogulus and then deliver the channel. And it looked incredibly good. It was running at 30 frames a second. It was beautiful. So, when I think about the power of that, and I could have switched to somebody on a webcam or a classroom with a video camera hooked up, as a camera feed and so forth. It's a TV production studio at your fingertips. So,
very
from
cool.
That, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. And then you take a look at all of the tools. I mean, we feel the pain, all three of us, we feel the pain all the time about, stuff isn't quite what we want, or it's just not quite there, or Gmail's having problems or whatever, but then...
Or I got to pay for it.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, when you stand back and you realize I can publish audio, video, screencasts, animation, all that stuff, and it's basically free. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you really piss and moan too much? So...
Oh, it's the
Minnesota State Lottery.
Oh, man. I've just won. No, sorry about that. Always forget to unplug that.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we should wrap it up, guys. I want to mention that Graham isn't here because he is under the weather.
Graham, get better, buddy.
Yeah. So.
But also, what do we got coming up locally? I feel like I've been gone for 5 days, but I feel like I've been out of the loop for a long time.
I know
that we had Mima and Social Media Breakfast on the same day last Wednesday.
I don't think any of it. Well, I had to miss it because of the client stuff. But what about you, Tim? Did you... Were you able to make it?
Yeah, no, I missed it as well.
Yeah,
so I've got the next one on my calendar, though. So
yeah,
for the Social Media Breakfast anyway.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Let me just one real quick thanks to everybody from Minnesota that made my trip down to Austin so enjoyable. When I got there, I had the folks over at Jen Kane Consulting, Jen and Carrie, and also Greg Swan. We know him as Perfect Porridge, and a lot of those folks, and of course everybody from Zeus Jones, Sierra Bravo, and Best Buy that were down there, including Gary Colding. It was really nice to hook up with them down there out of our environment, and thanks very much for making my first trip down there so enjoyable.
So I've got one question for you, Phil.
Yes, sir.
What was the best food you had down there?
The ribs. And
was it barbecue?
The barbecue was good. I had that at one of the all top party. That was really tasty. It was Rudy's, which is I think sort of their famous Dave's. But it was really good. And the person I stayed with, Carrie Van Loon, took me to a place called Chewy's that was pretty tasty Tex-Mex. So I did all right.
Sounds good.
I did all right. It beat the heck out of the Sonic burger I had on the way down. So
Nummy. Well, before I forget, the music we're listening to is from the Pod Show Music Network, Pod Show Podsafe Music Network, and at music.podshow.com. Just wanted to get that in. What about swag, Phil?
Swag bag. Very nice swag bag this year. I really appreciate the free netbook and all the stuff that came in the swag bag. It's great.
Free netbook? Great. No.
Don't I wish.
Yeah. Hey, I heard that there was a whole
the
bunch
socks,
of
socks, the free socks. Okay.
All right. I heard there was a bunch of paper in there and people were like, what's this? And throwing it out.
So they said I was packing material. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, you guys. Well, have a great weekend. It looks like it's shaping up to be a nice day.
It's going to be a great day here in the sunny state of Minnesota.
All right.
Yeah, spring is here.
It is.
Sort of.
Sort of.
All right. Now we can watch the snow melt.
Yeah, well, go. I don't have any. Okay, take care, guys.
Have a wonderful day, guys.
Thanks.
You too. Bye. Thanks. Now.